Hey, fellow Warzone listeners. My name is Zach Camps. If I'm not golfing or slinging my cans of Monster, I'm usually thinking about Dynasty Fantasy Football. A couple months back, I joined the Patreon just to take my Dynasty passion to the next level. And I'll tell you what, well, let's just say there's writer downers for days in the Patreon. As a member, you get access to the bonus pod where the guys take the filter off and talk about a wide variety of topics that maybe they won't cover on the normal show. You also get access to Memphis and Jerry for one-on-one advice, personal dynasty dilemmas. They'll tackle them for you, help you out with it. You just don't get that anywhere else. But I'd say my favorite part about the Patreon is the group chat. Tell you what, these guys are some excellent minds, tons of fun. The fire in there is amazing. Great platform to post trade questions, debate rookie values, share insight, interact with some cool people from across the globe. You know, shout out to those guys in Australia. They're blowing my phone up all the time. You know, the best part is there's no Twitter trolls or Facebook trolls arguing about stuff they don't know anything about. So if you want to enjoy your Dynasty experience even more, win those championships, pause the podcast right now, sign up, and you can thank me later in the group chat.
Hello, neighbor, and happy Friday, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. It is your boy Memphis at DFF Memphis, and got another great show for you today. This is slowly becoming... Don't tell my co-host Jerry over at the Dynasty Warzone. This is slowly becoming my favorite podcast to do of the week. I love doing guest spots. Recently was on the Open Bar with J. Mike and Gabe, a.k.a. Man Bun. That was a great 2 hours along with Jerry and Kyle from the Fantasy Football Fellas and Mike Sipes from the Dynasty Trades HQ. We were on there just having a heck of a good time, and as much as I love doing my own podcast, we do the Dynasty Warzone, I still refuse to commit to two shows a week because it is a lot of work, but we have not missed a Wednesday in 2 years. It'll be technically 2 years, July 4th, but we'll call it 98 weeks straight, every Wednesday at the Dynasty Warzone, and a lot of Fridays, to be quite honest, but this show right here, the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor, is really starting to get into where I love the game of Dynasty Fantasy Football. More people are playing than ever. More, I guess, household brands, the name brand podcasts, the fantasy footballers are doing a lot more Dynasty content. And I think this is because people see the fun, see the appeal. And let's be honest, the NFL is a year-round league. And how do you stay involved in fantasy football year-round? You play in a dynasty league. And it's great to help these new people. A lot of people taking over orphans. A lot of people in startups. I think this time next year, there may be a record number of orphan teams out there in dynasties. And I think that dynasty leagues could collapse in record numbers. I think there's been a lot of boredom drafting from people being sheltered in place at home during the attempt to flatten the curve here in the U.S. And while that's both good in that there are more ears tuning into podcasts like this one, like the Dynasty Warzone and so many others, it's also bad in that a lot of people are going to put a lot of hard work into a lot of startups. And come this time next year, you're going to look back and, you know, you're either going to be trying to fill four or five rosters or you're just going to have to start up from scratch. So not really a contractor thing, but just really a league thing in general. Know who you're getting into a league with. That's one of those big pieces of advice I can't stress enough. Are you going to know all of your friends? Maybe not, unless it's a home league. I think we all have a good home league out there in some form or fashion. For me, it's a 12-person redraft league. We've been doing it, I think this will be year 17, maybe 18. It's an old league. We've been around together for a long time. But we all live in the Indianapolis area. So we get together for a live draft. We have one guy who lives in New York City now. He patches in via Skype. But we all get together. And maybe you can't do that with Dynasty. But a couple of things. If you can't, this is not a plug or a commercial, because I am in no way sponsored or affiliated with the FFPC or Safe Leagues. But these are leagues that have never had a league fold. So if you're going to get into a new startup, if you're going to get into a a league of that fashion where you really have no ties in any way, shape, form, or fashion, make sure you do it on one of those two platforms to start. Maybe you meet some guys and you branch out and you want to start one on Sleeper because it's free, or MFL because you like the hosting platform. Totally cool. I dig it. I dig it the most. But when you're playing with a bunch of strangers for money, and there's no real point in playing Dynasty for free. Some people do. That is some people's budget. They're in free 99 price range. But if you're playing for even 25 bucks, 50 bucks, man, if you win at all and you're supposed to get 350 and you get 050, you're not a happy person. So keep those kind of things kind of in mind as you're out there cruising around in startup season. I hope your rookie drafts are going well. Now, I am pretty booked here on the contractor. If I can make time, I might start trying to do a couple, get ahead a little bit. But starting to have more openings come up. So if you're interested, you have to reach out to me at DFF Memphis, and you have to do it really Friday through Sunday. Just a little sneak peek behind the curtain of what is my real life. On Sunday evenings, sometimes I'll do guest spots on other podcasts, or I'll record our Patreon show. And on Mondays, I will do the opposite. I will edit and post the Patreon show. On Tuesday night, I record the Wednesday edition of The War Zone. On Wednesday night, I record The Contractor with my co-host, who is you, the listener of this show. And then on Thursday, I record the Friday edition of the Dynasty Warzone and a whole bunch of editing. So if you're interested in being on, I'm easy to get a hold of. At me on Twitter, at DFF Memphis. That's the group of listeners you're going to start hearing very soon. The owners that are going to be on. I've worked through most of our Patreons, DynastyWarzone.com. Patreon.com/DynastyWarzone. Again, patreon.com/DynastyWarzone. I've about worked all those people in. I mean, that's the simple nuts and bolts of it. It's like the fast pass at Disney. I pour a lot of time, effort, and energy into those people because they pour a lot of resources into the Dynasty Warzone. But that doesn't mean that we can't help you. At me on Twitter. Ask me, hey, I'm on the clock. I've slid in a lot of DMs and helped a lot of people the last 4 weeks since the contractor came about. I love it. Hey, man, I'm on the clock at the 104. Here's who's gone. Here's who's available. Here's my format. What do you think? I'm here to help. Again, if I don't get to you right away, I will. I put a lot of fantasy time. Again, I just read off my schedule Sunday through Thursday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, I try to put some time back into my family. But I'll always get back with you as soon as possible. And the reason why I love this show is that you're my co-host. Man, don't tell Jerry. I get kind of sick of Jerry. He's a good dude. But you know what? Sometimes when you're in a committed relationship, you have that wandering eye. Now, I would never do that in real life and in all sincerity. I'm just excited to meet more of you. Excited to meet new Dynasty players, old Dynasty players, and help you with your roster. So that's how you get a hold of me, at DFF Memphis. You can also hit me up at DynastyWarzone@gmail.com. That's my show handle. I check that email probably once a day. And if you're not a big Twitter person and you don't want to create a Twitter account, you can email me. Again, that's DynastyWarzone@gmail.com. Send me a quick email. Tell me you're looking to get on. I carry a calendar around with me. It's called my cell phone. And I'll tell you when we can get you booked. I can't promise when the show will air, as that's controlled by the powers that be at the Dynasty Happy Hour. But I'd love to have you on. So today we're going to get into Darren's roster. We're going to talk about his super flex. He won the title last year. He's starting to move some pieces. He realizes that it was a short amount of owners. It's only 10, and he realized that he was carried. He's not sure if that's a repeatable thing, and he's looking to lay the groundwork of a long-term dynasty. So we're going to get into that. I'm excited to have you here listening. I hope you're having a great week, and I hope you're getting this on Friday and you're having a good weekend and you got plans. Remember, get out in the sunshine, get some fresh air, and enjoy this on a walk. But until next week, again, if you're interested, dynastywarzone@gmail.com, at DFFMemphis on Twitter, and I'll work my ass off to get you scheduled. So, again, have a great weekend. Talk to you real soon. Thanks, guys. All right, joining me tonight to talk about his 10-team Superflex tight end premium sleeper roster is Darren. Now, Darren is originally from the great south of the United States. As you know, that is where my family tree is from as well. And I'm a little bit further north than him. My family was originally from Tennessee. He's right below us, originally from the great state of Alabama. He now has moved further north than me. I'm in Indianapolis, but he's in the great white north of Minnesota. But welcome, Darren, to the Dynasty.
How's it going, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, I got to ask you a question right off the jump.
Yep.
All right, now, we both have southern ties to our upbringing, but you're currently living in Minnesota, is that correct?
Yes.
Now, I've always affectionately said Minnesota is the nicest state in the Union. But we also know that the South is famous for its Southern hospitality. How would you rate the South versus states like Minnesota now that you've had the opportunity to spend the time in both?
It's different. I guess I can say that much. The Southern hospitality, I mean, yeah, you get the drive-by waves. People just wave. You don't have to know anybody. You're like, hey, how's it going? And it's not so much. It seems like people are more in a hurry up here. And then I found out why that is in the wintertime, because it's like 40 below zero, so you got to get from one point to the other without freezing to death.
Yeah. As someone who lives in Indy, it doesn't get quite as cold here. I'm pretty close. We've had some. Now, this past winter wasn't too bad. It was fairly mild, but we've had those days that with the wind chill, it's like minus 30 or something. And yeah. You're right. Head down, bundled up, get from the car to the building, or the building to the car, and get back to a building so that you don't freeze to death. So we're going to jump into this, man. I'm going to read off the questionnaire that you filled out for me. How many owners? It's 10. Scoring format is PPR. How many owners? Again, 10. It is Superflex, and you know I love me some Superflex. Tight end premium, you said yes, and it's a 1.5 tight end PPR scoring. What is the activity level of the league? You said hyperactive. Now, define hyperactive. Insider for the listener, Darren is one of our Patreons over at the Dynasty Warzone Patreon, but how would you compare the activity of this league to, say, the Patreon and other group chats you've been in?
It's pretty close to the Patreon. It's every day, all times of day and night. People are conversating. It's like one of the best leagues I've ever been in, as far as activity wise. Baseball fans, hockey fans, soccer fans, just sports fans in general. You know,
there is no substitute. So for all of you listening to this podcast, there is no substitute for a good group chat. And it doesn't always have to be about the league and trades and whatever. No, it's great if it is, but we have something very similar in the, I always call it the world famous Goat Leagues. It's ran by my buddy JD at Goat District on Twitter. And we have been in this league together. I think we're going into our fourth season, and there is literally, and I'm not being hyperbolic at all when I say holidays, I mean major holidays, Christmas, July 4th, we've got Canadians in there. There's not a day goes by where we don't have 10, 15, 20, and that's a very light day. I've had days where I just had to mute the chat at work because there's been hundreds. And, you know, you get a couple of guys on a roll. And if your league doesn't have that, which is what I've been blessed with in the Goat Leagues, it sounds like you've got going on in this league. If you're not in one of those chats, and maybe that doesn't fit your personality, but it certainly fits mine, and I like being around super active owners. It just makes it more fun, man.
Yes, I agree totally.
So that's good, because that means these guys are engaged. They're about their teams. You say it's a pretty active group now. As it goes with trading, you know, are there a lot of trades? Are there offers back and forth? DMs coming in? What's that like?
It's pretty constant. You have days where there's nothing, but then you'll have that run of like massive trade just bouncing out like quick, you know. And people are really good about countering and discussing stuff. The DMs light up, you know. It's not like you just get the random trade. You don't never hear from somebody, and you're like, you know.
Well, I think that's fantastic because one trade will usually domino others. Because if a competitor, I've seen this for years, if one competitor makes a move where maybe they short up a weakness, maybe they're running back two or three or flex is a weakness, and they make that trade, man, the guy who thinks he's competing with that roster is like, well, I've got to make a move. I've got to get in
right.
I've got to start mixing it up. And that's when a savvy owner can step in and take advantage. Why are you looking for the help of the contractor? You put down, you've been playing redraft for 10 plus years, and you're going into your second year of Dynasty. How are you liking Dynasty so far? You seem to be very into it from our interactions together.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, people around me call me a fantasy football degenerate junkie. You know, it's kind of like what I do. I'm blessed at work. I can actually listen to my bows and listen to the podcast while I'm at work. So usually a good 6 hours of my day are fantasy football podcast.
That's just good.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's our podcast here at the contractor,
every podcast. Yeah. The Dynasty Warzone, everyone you're dropping. I'm subscribed and I have quite a few, but you're in the top for sure.
Well, I appreciate that, but I, again, that's very humbling and I'm flattered, but whether it's ours at the Dynasty Warzone, the Dynasty Happy Hour family of podcasts, whether it's this one, the flagship that drops on Mondays, or any of the other great podcasts that you listen to, that's the investment you're putting back into your quote-unquote game. You know, we're all in the middle of watching the Jordan docuseries on Sunday nights right now, and that guy was a relentless worker. And listening to podcasts and being in group chats and, you know, being active out there when you can, and not everybody has the same lifestyle as me or Darren or other people, or you're not into it that much, but you've got to invest, because what you put into your Dynasty game, quote unquote, will be what you get back out of it. So I've been very excited about your enthusiasm. And then what shape is your roster going into, in your opinion? And you said rebuilding. Not sure how you felt about it, but I looked over your team and your short and long-term goals. You took over an orphan team at the beginning of the last season that had won the ship. Your short-term goals is to not end up in the middle. Good for you, man. Good for you. Your long-term goal is to build a dynasty juggernaut. Man, that is why we're here. So let's get into it. Your roster has a little bit of everything, so I don't feel like there's one strong place to really start. Let's talk about your QBs. You got Big Ben, Uncle Phil Rivers, Mitch Trubisky, and the one that I would consider the prize of this group, that's Tua. By the way, Tua, side note, did you know that his new home jersey is the number one current selling jersey in the NFL?
Did not know that.
And his road alternate jersey is like the number three most popular selling jersey in the NFL. That makes sense. Miami, big city. I can tell you this from being an Indy and being in retail in Indy up until recently. You know, we went for a long stretch where we had Peyton Manning and Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison and Edge and all these great players, and we had jerseys for all those guys. And then the last 5 to 7 years, I mean, it's really been Andrew Luck or it's been T.Y. Hilton. Now, luckily, last few years we've added, you know, Quentin Nelson, Darius Leonard. I'm sure we'll have DeForest Buckner and Jonathan Taylor. Hopefully a Michael Pittman Jr. That might be one I have to put on my Christmas list this year. But no, man, Tua is your prize. I love him. I don't think there is there's always a price. You remember the $1 million man in pro wrestling?
Yep.
Everybody's got a price. I mean, at some point, someone could come through and just make you a stupid offer on Tua. I won't tell you what he gave up, but Tyler Gunther of the Dynasty Happy Hour just paid a pretty penny to get Tua himself. So there's your prize. Let's go to, because in this particular roster, what we're going to talk about with Darren. We need to kind of go through the entire roster. Now, at running back, man, you got the top dog, the A number one. You got Christian McCaffrey, and then you have my favorite rookie running back. I know a lot of people like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but you've got JT, Jonathan Taylor. I think a guy who's vastly underrated, in my opinion, especially in a PPR format, and that's Tariq Cohen. You have roster clogger Jerick McKinnon. He'll be looking for a home on your waiver wire soon. Devonta Freeman, I'm hanging on to him. There are still plenty of rosters out there that are unsettled at the running back position, including Seattle. I don't see them going into 2020 with just Chris Carson. And Freeman's the kind of guy who needs COVID restrictions to lighten so that he can, you know, pass a physical. Rojo, I'm a little concerned about. Zach Moss, I'm not a fan. Now, my co-host on the Dynasty Warzone, Jerry, he loves Zach Moss. I think they're going to have an interesting – I really want to see this. Now, he's the kind of guy I wouldn't move him, again, unless I'm blown away by the offer, because he could be very valuable, or he could be you know. So he's a wild card or joker. And this next guy, I'm really proud of you for having him. Because he could push Darwe Agumbawale out of Tampa Bay, and that's Raymond Calais. He could end up being the James White in that offense. I think Vaughn will have more of a three-down role, but, man, he could totally be the James White. And from what I've read and what I've heard, he could really push Agumbawale for that final roster spot. Joshua Kelly, big thumbs up on Joshua Kelly, because I think he's going to fill a large majority of that Melvin Gordon role out there with the Chargers. And then another guy, man, you've drafted with some help of a guy that I know, because you got Darrington Evans. Man, I love this guy. Absolutely.
Yep. Draft the running backs, figure out the receivers later.
you know,
that's been my thing.
And you got him, because where I know you got Kelly and where you got Evans, man, that's a position that doesn't take, you know, if you've ever worked in the garden or, you know, with plants, you put a little Miracle-Gro on there and watch them thing fly, a little fertilizer. These guys don't need much, and their value could double, triple overnight, and you could flip them for proven assets. We see it every year. Hello, Darwin Thompson last year. Everybody was like, he's worth a bajillion dollars. And it ends up not so much. But, yeah, so we'll take a look at those guys. Let's get through your pass catchers real quick. This is the team of all Robins and no Batman. You know, Tyler Lockett, a great, solid wide receiver two type. Tyler Boyd, same. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, man, I'm really hoping to see him take a step. Christian Kirk, a lot of people are leaving him for dead. I don't think so. I've been doing some research for a side project, and I'm looking at offenses by formation. Not only was Arizona one of the pass attempt leaders in the NFL last year, they were also the leader in combined three wide receiver and four wide receiver sets. So Christian Kirk is still going to be on the field a lot, has a ton of value, and we've seen some blown up games. Robbie Anderson, he may be the wide receiver 2-3 in Carolina, but he could be the third option. There's no guarantee that Curtis Samuel or Ian Thomas are going to beat him out for the affection of the offense and Teddy Two Gloves. Geronimo Allison, Duke Williams, James Washington, this is a make or break year. And then the last guy, we're going to come back to him when we go over these together, is N'Keal Harry. Now, your tight end group, top to bottom, I love it. Austin Hooper, Evan Engram, Tyler Eifert, Eric Ebron. Now, I don't think anyone's going to give you a ton for those guys. I would consider Engram the best of the three. But, again, in that research that I'm doing, new offensive coordinator in, I guess, head coach, and he'll have a large hand in the offense, Kevin Stefanski. When he was the OC in Minnesota last year, his team ran three wide receiver or more formations less than 26% of the time. He's in two tight end, two wide receiver sets more often than not. What does that mean? Austin Hooper is going to be on the field a ton. So I love your tight end. So what do you love about this roster? What do you What do you want to improve the most? Where are you looking to start?
Yeah, I was, you know, looking like I was thinking, you know, rebuilding. I kind of need to get my value out of McCaffrey. And
now's the time. Now's the time.
I also would like to get that, you know, second quarterback and maybe that receiver, because I don't have to.
I think we're in agreement there. Now, Christian McCaffrey, I love him. And not only is his value extremely valuable in all formats, but the smaller the owner sizes, in this case 10, the more he's worth. But a couple of things that I'm slight concern, and guys, just because I'm saying I have a concern about Christian McCaffrey does not mean A, that I think that he sucks, or B, that you need to get rid of him. But these are things to keep in mind. A, he had 19 touchdowns last year combined, 15 rushing and 4 receiving. There's going to be regression. It's next to impossible for him to keep that up. Now, if you told me he had 11, 12 touchdowns, man, that's great. But if you take 5, 6, 7 touchdowns away from him and multiply that by 6, that's, you know, 6 is 36. And that's 2 points per game you're giving up with him. Also, his offensive coordinator that made him the RB1 overall in 2018 and 2019 in PPR, he's now the offensive coordinator in Washington. Now, I'm extremely excited to see what Matt Rhule and Joe, I've drawn a blank on his last name, the guy who came up from LSU, Joe Brady, what they have in store for this offense. I really do. But, I mean, he's already got 926 career touches. Now, conversely, he's got over 5,000, almost 5,500 career total yardage between receiving and rushing. But for a contender, you know, by the time that the Tua and the JT and these guys are ready to roll, you know, he could be going into year 6, 7. And what's he going to look like then? Running backs age quick, man. They're the reverse Benjamin Button. So
the value will be gone in 6. You know,
it's amazing how fickle we are with running backs. One minute we love them, and then the next minute, I mean, we go Todd Gurley. It's been less than 24 months since Todd Gurley was valued very similarly to Christian McCaffrey. Now, fast forward 2 years, do I really think Christian McCaffrey is worth what Gurley is today? No. But based on your roster and you've got the mindset you want to cash out, you know, now's the time. And I've always been a believer, and it's better to be a year too early than a year too late. So what would you be looking to get out of him? You mentioned a quarterback, but there's not a quarterback outside of maybe Mahomes or Lamar Jackson that you could do. What are you thinking when it relates to quarterback for him?
Yeah, you know what? Top 7, top 8, plus some draft capital, maybe a younger receiver or something in there.
I think we're thinking along the same lines. I like where your head's at. Yeah, I'm looking to get in that. You're not going to get as much plus. Maybe you're not going to get any plus with a Patrick Mahomes or a Lamar Jackson.
Right.
Because in a startup right now, those are three of the top four, with Barkley being the fourth. In some order, in every startup I've seen this year, it's been Mahomes, Jackson, McCaffrey, Barkley, in some order. Some people have taken the running back, some have been the quarterback, but without fail, more often than not, those have been the big four. You can aim your sights a little bit lower, and my QB3 in a startup would be Dak, then Kyler Murray. Then you go to Deshaun Watson. Those three are pretty much in a tier for me at this point. I still like Carson Wentz. And then there's Josh Allen. I love Josh Allen. If you've ever listened to me on the Dynasty Warzone or this podcast, I love Josh Allen, but I do not think that I could put as the only quarterback I would be getting back in a trade for Christian McCaffrey. He feels if we think running back value is unstable, I think Josh Allen's overall value is very unstable. So with that said, I think that would be like the first filter. you're looking for one of those big quarterbacks. And then you go to that owner's roster and you're looking for wide receiver. Now, are there young wide receivers, whether they be rookies, year one, two, or three guys that you would be looking to add to your roster?
Oh, you know, McLaurin, A.J. Brown, D.J. Moore is a good one. Yeah, I like Jefferson and, of course, CeeDee Lamb. And really how Judy's landing spot, though, that kind of.
Yeah, Judy in that landing spot makes me nervous. I'm also worried about the volume. So it's hard because I have no real NFL track record for Matt Rhule and Joe Brady. But I can tell you the last 2 years, three wide receiver sets, they have used about 68% of the time they've been in three wide receiver sets in Carolina. I think that'll continue. I know I'm using Scott Turner's numbers to try to project Carolina, but I think that out of all the young guys, I think DJ Moore has the safest floor and the highest ceiling of all these guys. You know, you and I were talking before we hit the record button just to get a feel for one another in conversation, and we talked about, you know, Chris Godwin's got Tom Brady, and Michael Thomas is, you know, 27 and a half. And yeah, Jameis Winston's there now, but Jameis is under a one-year deal. And do we really want to turn Michael Thomas over to Taysom Hill? I don't know. You know, so even the best of the best have a question mark. And even though Teddy Bridgewater's not going to be confused for Tom Brady in his prime, I think he's a little bit more serviceable. And we saw him able to feed Michael Thomas last year. So I feel very comfortable with DJ Moore would be my next criteria, and I think you got to get a first. And I think in a 10-man league, I don't think you're asking too much for a young quarterback. Even if I could get Carson Wentz, DJ Moore in a first, some people would probably say that's not enough. Man, I'm adding Carson Wentz to Tua. I still got JT as my lead. I'm going to build around you in the future running back. I'm adding DJ Moore to be my Batman to my already good core of Robins, if you will, in Tyler Boyd, in Christian Kirk, in Tyler Lockett, in Keel Harry. Man, and then we got the tight ends figured out. Now we've got something young and cooking, right? You got a couple extra picks next year. Then with the quarterback position, if you were able to land with those young guys and you got Tua, I'll be honest, I would keep Mitch. And you might think to yourself, what the hell are you smoking? What are they growing there? Is weed legal in Indiana? It's actually not. Most of our neighbors, you can get legal weed. But in Indiana, not so much. Not my thing anyway. But the reason why I like Mitch is, you know, Ryan Pace with the Bears. He needs a hit. You know, you think of like an old band or whatever that had a bunch of success in the past, and they just need a hit. They need a number one hit. That's what Ryan Pace needs right now. The Khalil Mack trade has not exactly translated into a lot of success, and we're actually seeing the success the Raiders are having with the Bears picks, and they actually traded up to take Mitch over Mahomes, over Watson. They need to give him every opportunity to do that, and his value can't fall off the floor. You know, he's bottomed out, if you will. I think to the right contender, you can get something for Ben or Phil. I don't think you'll get much now unless it's like part of a package of a trade. But do you know how many quarterbacks started a game last year?
A bunch of them.
40. I heard this stat the other day. You're right. It is a bunch of them. I heard this stat the other day. It was 49 quarterbacks started at least one game last year. So it stands to realize that one of your league mates is going to lose a starter at some point. And they're going to want a veteran guy like Ben, a veteran guy like Phil. And even though you'd love to get, you know, more for him, it would not be hard for you, like week five or six, if, let's say, knock on wood, because I'm very invested in Josh Allen. Let's say he pulls a hamstring, you know, on one of those designed runs. And his owner's like, hey, man, I'd like to get Phil. And Phil's playing good in the dome, controlled weather, good offensive line. It's not unfathomable to get his second-round pick, which may not feel like a lot, but, man, Phil could be out of the league this time next year. He signed a future deal to coach a college, not a college team, a high school team in Alabama, his hometown. And Ben, I mean, yeah. Ben, not the healthiest dude around. So, and maybe you can even work a deal where you give your second and Ben for that guy's first.
Right.
Know? And then you have three firsts next year because you know, or two firsts or whatever you can get. Because again, we're going to go back to the area where you're the weakest. And that's wide receiver. Dude, next year's wide receiver class is stacked. You got Devonta Smith. You got Jamar Chase. You've got Rondell Moore. You got the kid out of Clemson, Justin Ross, I believe. I mean, this wide receiver class makes this one. I don't know. I can't say it looks worse because this class was pretty stacked as well. But you're just going to continue to see a lot of wide receivers and having more picks. And don't forget,
right.
A couple of really good quarterbacks coming out next year, at least two. I've heard about the North Dakota State kid, Trey Lance, I believe is his name, and Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. I mean, the more picks you can get out of these older guys, the better off you'll be. Let's talk about your wide receivers. How do you feel about N'Keal Harry? Now, did you acquire him with the team? Did you trade for him? How'd you get Harry?
I traded him. Maybe a month before the draft. And I didn't actually, when I made the trade, I was like, man, I don't know if I should have done that. I traded, I had Eckler because I won the championship last year with this league, but it was all on Christian McCaffrey and Eckler pretty much. But I traded Eckler for N'Keal Harry and a first, and the first ended up being the 107, and the 107 ended up being Tua. So I'm happy at this point, you know, but in the moment I was like, I probably shouldn't have done that, but it worked out, I think.
You know, you familiar with the painter Bob Ross?
Yes.
That's a happy accident, man. That's just a happy accident that ended up working out in your favor. So N'Keal Harry is actually one of my low key buys. Now you've already had your rookie draft and you've got N'Keal Harry, but for those listening out there right now, N'Keal is someone that I'm very interested in. You know, not everybody go together perfectly. You know, there's a lot of divorce. I think America's what, like 40% divorce rate still to this day, something along those lines. Sometimes two people just don't fit together. And I don't think Tom Brady and N'Keal Harry fit together. Tom Brady liked working with veterans. Tom Brady is putting the ball where you're going, not where you're at. And N'Keal Harry was not the best separator in college. He's not been the best separator in the pros. And his bread and butter, in my opinion, was always that contested ball. I think Jarrett Stidham's going to give him the opportunity to go get those contested balls. So I think N'Keal Harry is someone that I've got a big eye on, especially in the red zone, man. Big guy, again, contested catch guy. They don't have a good veteran tight end there. They drafted a couple. Julian Edelman's awesome, but he's 5 foot nothing and tougher than an old boot, but that's not his game. So I really like N'Keal Harry. And again, you have that one stud, that DJ Moore, that Godwin type to put all these other guys around and you're good. I want to go back to your running back position just a second. Guys that you're going to start getting offers on, in my opinion, if you wanted to move Zach Moss, I wouldn't blame you. Again, I'm not a huge fan. I don't think he's a very good athlete. But have you seen the Spider-Man, you know, GIF where they're pointing at each other?
Yep.
I feel like we got a lot of that going on with Zach Moss and Devin Singletary. Neither one of them are great athletes, but they're both good football players. I think I don't know how much passing work Moss is going to get. I would be looking to that Singletary owner, and maybe I can sell him Moss. And you can, you know, try to get in his head a little bit, get psychological with him and saying, hey, man, we don't know what this backfield is going to look like. Why don't you let me give you both parts of it? I don't know what you invested in him from a pick standpoint. Maybe you can flip him and, you know, package him up with someone else. Maybe you can package him and Robbie Anderson together and you can level up a little bit and, you know, get into that next tier of running backs. I don't know that would get you Keyshawn Vaughn, but that would sure be a target for me. You know,
right?
Because I had Keyshawn Vaughn in a subsection all of his own rookies. Then Joshua Kelly and Darrington Evans. Man, you're just hoping these guys hit. They they're two of my favorite rookies. Let me ask you this. You said earlier there's only three rounds in the rookie draft.
Yep. So, like, I ended up with the 104. I took Taylor, and the 107, I had Tua. And then I didn't pick again until the end of the second, and I got Zach Moss. And then I had the last three picks of the third round. I took Kelly at the 8. I traded the 9 for James Washington, and then I took Darrington Evans with the last pick.
You know, that James Washington pick could be something. There is word on the street in Pittsburgh that Juju may not be back. And James, so everybody's high on Deontay Johnson, and they should be. He had a lot of good games last year. He definitely flashed a lot. My concern was is that he did it with Duck Hodges and with Mason Rudolph. And the reason why I think that happened, and it's just a theory, is that these guys spent a lot of time together with the second team in summer camp. And Ben was out there with the first guys, which was James Robinson and Juju. And these other guys are just working in. So I don't know who Ben's going to favor in this offense. But if Juju were to walk, his value could go up. So I don't dislike that at all. A late third for a guy like James Washington. And here's the thing. If they don't like him, they could cut him and he could wind up somewhere else. So if you're going to invest young. Geronimo Allison. So these are the kind of guys I would be looking to cut. So you only had 30 total players drafted in your rookie draft. Is that correct?
Correct.
Now, are your waivers running? Does this league allow waivers to run weekly now that the draft is over?
Yeah, it's Fab Daily, and it's running, yeah. It's already open.
Okay. Are there anybody that you're looking at to potentially swap out, or are there guys you're okay with just, like, basically, to use a football term, just calling in the kicking team to get rid of?
Yeah, I mean, I got Raymond Khalilis off of the wire the other day, so I'm still digging around in there, finding some gold, hopefully.
Well, so I'm gonna give you a list of names that could be there based on some of my other drafts. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Because I'm gonna give you a handful of guys I would just look to cut bait on, because.
Okay.
Even if they were to hit their absolute ceiling from this point going forward, I don't know that they're going to be worth anything. I'd get rid of Geronimo Allison. I'd get rid of Duke Williams. And I would go ahead and move. I saw your taxi squad. I would go ahead and fill my taxi squad up. Actually, you do have it filled up. They just don't have pictures in there. So I would cut those dudes, those two guys, and I would start looking for some of the following names. I'm taking this from the Ultimate Dynasty Podcasters League with a lot of guys you've heard of. Again, Tyler from the Dynasty Happy Hour, Rich from the Nerds, Izzy from the Dynasty Trades, Dynasty Trade Calculator, Shane from the Dynasty Trades HQ, some really talented guys. So here you go. I'm going to give you a list of names. Are you ready?
Yes.
DJ Dallas. If Seattle does not sign another veteran like a Carlos Hyde, like a Devonta Freeman, DJ Dallas is the next man up. I truly think Rashad Penny starts the season on the pup, and we all know guys coming off of an ACL don't exactly have the best go of things. I'm looking directly at you, Darius, guys. Other guys that you can be looking for, Van Jefferson. If for some reason they can't find the dollars and cents to keep Cooper Kupp in L.A., and I think they will, the guy that all the national football scouts, the ESPN, the Mel Kuypers, the McShays, etc. The guy they most compared Van Jefferson to was Cooper Kupp. So this and he went 35th overall in this league. A handful of other names for you: Devin Duvernay. I like if you just want to stay running back. If you're looking to hit that quick flip potential, LaMichael Perine with the Jets, fourth round draft capital. Not a big stretch to say that he'll wind up as the running back 2-3 in the New York Jets offense. And even if they don't get rid of Le'Veon Bell this year, let's be honest, Adam Gase hates him. Absolutely hates him. So that's the kind of guy I would be looking to stash on the back end of my roster if he were available. Other guys that may be out there due to having a 25-man league, or a guy that maybe you can try to scoop up would be Raquel Armstead, because Leonard Fournette's fallen out of favor in Jacksonville. And then a couple other quick hitters. Thaddeus Moss. I mean, it's very fathomable to think that he could be the tight end starter in week one for the Washington Redskins. Their tight end depth chart is crap. So there's a handful of guys that I would start looking for that I would gladly, without question, look to dump guys like Geronimo and Duke Williams and hoping that I found something. And I would prioritize the running backs, DJ Dallas and LaMichael Perine at the top, because I think I can flip them for the most value later.
Right.
So what other questions do you have about this roster, man? I think we have a plan. I think that the biggest thing that you can do right now is, before the season gets started, is try to get as much as you can for Christian McCaffrey. And you got to remind your fellow owners, sometimes they just got to be put in check. Guys, I'm not having a garage sale. This is not, you know, a swap meet. Hey, make me a lowball offer on Christian McCaffrey. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Guys, I'm looking to move Christian McCaffrey. You know and I know he's a league winner. And come correct or don't come at all, I'm looking for a top quarterback, and I'm looking for a combo of a top wide receiver and some picks. Do you think your league would be receptive to that? And what's your plan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure as soon as I throw it out there, I'll start catching DMs. I was getting them before the draft. And I just didn't make a move. Well, nobody offered me the quarterback, though. It was they were just Josh Jacobs in a first. And I was like, I'm not just swapping running backs. I'm kind of good with that.
Honestly, if the running back was inside that, you know, he was a rookie last year or this year. Like, if someone were to give you Clyde Edwards-Helaire and a first and maybe another pick, I'm not saying no to that. Yeah, you quote-unquote might be losing in, like, a calculator or whatever, but that's not what we're here for. We're here to get young guys. I would say if you could get any of the big five, a 2021 first and maybe one more piece, it may not feel like enough now, but here's the thing. Even if you don't get the quarterback, we're playing for 2021, right?
Right.
So the worse your record is, the more likely you are to wind up with Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, which is kind of the goal of getting a quarterback anyway.
Right.
So then you just lay back. You wouldn't be tanking, but I think I would be starting a suboptimal lineup. Now, again, I would never not start a good roster, and I wouldn't go as far as putting Duke Williams out there every week, but let's just say if I had to choose between J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Robbie Anderson over Christian Kirk and Tyler Boyd, hey man, these guys are just as capable as the next, and I like this matchup, kind of that type of thing. Hey, you know what? I like Rojo, and I think Tariq Cohen is, you can run out at least a respectable roster, but you're not out there actively picking up scrubs to lose. And as long as you wind up in that top three or four next year, that falls in line with your goals. Are you with me?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, I would do that. That would be my before the season starts move, is how do I get out from under Christian McCaffrey, and how do I keep it young? Because remember, although I think there'll be football, if we don't get football, we have no idea, you know, how some of these guys are going to age, which really hurts you for the quarterbacks. Now, that's a gamble I'm willing to take. You know, if you can't give someone to give you something decent for, you know, Ben or Phil, I'd do it.
Right.
You know, maybe you could go out, if you want to do something now with one of those two guys, you could go look for the guy who owns Nick Foles to pair up with Mitch Trubisky. Say, hey, I'll give you Ben for Nick Foles in a second. You know, you're getting a guy who's been a top quarterback. I'm just marrying up the Bears, you know, quarterback situation. It's not a long-term play, but it's the kind of play that, you know, again, you're getting younger, you're moving off the old guys. And then in season, if you told me you were going to, you know, dig in and you were going to move a Hooper or an Ingram for a pick or a young up-and-coming player, I wouldn't have a problem with that, unless it's a two tight end league, which this clearly is not.
Right.
Those would be some things I would be looking to do, but the biggest one is I would get serious about moving Christian McCaffrey. And don't be afraid to walk away from a deal. I'm going to leave you on this. So today, I had an owner slide in with a pretty terrible offer on Tyreek Hill and Jordan Love. And we went back and forth. And he made some other trades, and I was going to get a big package of players. And it ended up being to where I was going to get Watson and Phillip Rivers, and in return, I was going to give up Jordan Love, Tyreek Hill, and Fitzmagic. And this guy also owned Tua. So he's locking up the entire Miami backfield. He's getting a stud wide receiver. And basically, I'm getting and he's getting Jordan Love. And I'm basically – I've already got Brissett, so I'm getting Phil and Brissett. So I'm it kind of helps both of us to a degree. And he's like, I want to sit on it for a while. He came back, and he was like, yeah, I just think you're going to have to add a little bit more. And I was like, bud, I thought we had a deal. I appreciate you. I'm glad someone's talking trade in this league, but I'm just kind of all in. You can't be afraid. If it's not right, it's not right.
Right.
And too right. often we just – sometimes you have to shrug your shoulders and say, all right, this is the best it's going to get. And sometimes you just got to walk away and say, dude, it's May 13th. I've got at least 4 months before I've really got to make any major decisions. And, yeah. And that's where I'm at, man. But I like the team and I like your commitment. Now, you're going to stay committed to this this rebuild, right?
For sure.
And you're going to keep me patched in along the way so that I can do it, because at some point I'm going to do a contractor reunion show. And we're going to sit back and we're going to look at how this thing progressed. I know Kyle, our very first contractor guest, you know, he's already made some big moves, as has, you know, JC and Zach. And now you, man, I'm really excited. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you having me on, man, and helping out. And everybody in the group chat, man, I appreciate everybody. It's great.
Well, thanks for coming on. And as I always say, on behalf of Darren, I am Memphis. And here at the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor, we're just trying to make the world a better place for fantasy football. We'll see you back here next week with a new contractor.
Folks, Kyle here. I'm a physical therapist and a fantasy football junkie. I've been doing Dynasty for a year, and I joined the Dynasty Warzone Patreon about 6 months ago, and never have I felt more comfortable with having Memphis, Jerry, and the guys in the Patreon chat help me with buys, sells, and navigating free agency and rookie draft. I can't recommend them enough, and so join the Patreon, because if you ain't first, you're last.
Are you looking for a reminder of your fantasy football greatness? Are you looking for something to set your league apart from those dime a dozen jabroni leagues out there? Then head over to trophysmack.com and hook your league up with the best trophies in the game today. And not only will you get the best trophies in the game today, you can get a free championship ring up to a $59.99 value by entering in the promo code DWZRING. You pick out your trophy. Which one do you like? You put it in the cart. You add the ring to the cart. You add the promo code DWZRING. Makes the ring free. And your league is now a step above the league down the street. So if you're looking for the best, you want to be the best in the game, you want to have the best league in town, go over to TrophySmack.com. Get that trophy. Get that ring. Use that code DWZRING. And let's have a big season.